Isn't this a sports show?
I'm trying to take risks and take chances, get messy like Miss Frizzle told me to do. Magic School Bus reference for seven people.
Okay, good.
I got it. Don't worry.
Take chances, make mistakes, get messy. That's what it was. Shout out to Miss Frizzle.
Almost entirely.
I was homeschooled, so she was like my, you know.
She was your science teacher.
She was my science teacher. Yeah, that's exactly right.
That was Bill Nye. How dare you?
Hey,
Beards, you honestly think Josh's mom would let him watch Bill Nye? No way.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You think I was reading Harry Potter for fun, Beards? Are you kidding me?
So Wishbone was your English class.
You're damn right.
Yeah!
You're damn right, Wishbone was my English class. Absolutely.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
I was basically educated on PBS.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not complaining. Great.
Look at us now.
Yeah, look at us.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Don't worry about the other news of the day, not quite yet, because it's a Tuesday. The Chiefs won a fun game on Sunday, and we have a way of doing things around here, gosh dang it.
Yeah!
That was a good one on my end.
This one had a, not a loud pop, but like a heavy pop.
Yeah, I don't have any confetti even on the desk in here. It is a Party Popper Tuesday because the Chiefs offense is fixed, unless it isn't, but it might be, but it might not be. We'll figure it out. Plus, of course, we have a lot to talk about here today, more so even than your usual Chiefs Tuesday, because arguably the biggest game of the Chiefs season, at least given how it's panned out, certainly now at this point, biggest game of the Chiefs season is just about 48 hours away. Almost exactly 48 hours from now, we'll be wrapping up the Central Bank pregame show here in this studio. We'll be preparing to watch Chiefs Chargers, and in about 51 hours or so, we will be getting ready for a post-game show when I believe we will know who will win the AFC West. I think that there's a really good chance that it ultimately comes down to this game on Thursday. And we'll spend some time tonight looking ahead to that game. We'll spend some time tonight looking back at Chiefs Raiders. But it's not really where we're going to start on either of those counts. Because the biggest news of the day today almost couldn't have caught me by bigger surprise, not just because of the nature of it. At this point, even the Chiefs have had to deal with their issue of COVID issues. Josh Gordon put on the COVID list on Monday. But today it was especially shocking for a little piece of a little background intel here for you. I was out there at Chiefs press conferences today, and there's a little whiteboard that they put up for everyone who's going to come out to talk to the media. And today it said, you know, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and not Antonio Brown. That would have been surprising. Orlando Brown, Antonio Brown would have been an even bigger shocker. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Orlando Brown Jr., Mecole Hardman, and the guy who was supposed to round out media availability from the Chiefs today was Chris Jones. Little surprise, nobody from Chiefs PR snuck out a little long sleeve and just kind of wiped that whiteboard down a little bit right before pressers began, because Andy Reid came out, and one of the very first things that he said today is that Chris Jones has entered the COVID protocols. Now, in a normal week, that would be bad news for the Chiefs. In a normal week, you say, man, Chris Jones is at least going to miss practice, and it really puts him in a tough spot to be able to play on Sunday. In a normal week. Playing against your top, you know, in terms of talent and standings, divisional rival, late in the season for a game that could really tilt if you are the 2 seed, maybe the 1 seed, maybe the 5 seed, maybe the 6. In that fluctuating space, not having your best defensive player would be bad news, or at least having him you know, up in the air with several days to figure it all out. All of that is made considerably worse by the fact that the Chiefs play on Thursday Night Football. Josh Gordon and Chris Jones both seem terribly unlikely to play at this point, and I'm going to try to walk you through just some, like, simple math. We didn't get any real answers on this front today from press conferences, but I'm going to give you some simple math. Also, for the Chargers, rookie left tackle Rashawn Slater is also in the COVID protocols. Seems very unlikely that he would play, but he and Josh Gordon do have an advantage that Chris Jones does not have, which is that they both tested positive on Monday. And at this point, maybe everyone already knows this, but this is one of those strange things that none of us would have ever given a blink of thought to 3 years ago, and now it's something that we all have written on the back of our hand. But for a vaccinated player to return, which we all reportedly believe, it has been reported, we do assume, whatever, that Josh Gordon, Chris Jones, and Rashawn Slater are all vaccinated, so that this window is open, and that fact would probably bail them out for a Sunday game. And just, you know, bail them out, I mean, just in terms of bad luck. I have no reason to think that anyone made, like, a dumb decision or anything. I don't know. We don't know how any of them got it, at least not publicly. I don't know. But you can get bailed out for Sunday with that fact, because what you need is the two negative tests 24 hours apart. If somebody had a false positive yesterday, it might have been like Tyler Higbee, I think. Someone on the Rams had a false positive, and then like a ton of their team had positives. But for Chris Jones right now, to have two negative tests 24 hours apart, we would expect them, we were talking about this around the media room after everything today, and I think where we ended up largely was that would probably, the Chiefs will probably leave for LA tomorrow midday. You get there, I don't know, that could get you there 24-ish hours before the game. I guess that Chris Jones could potentially fly out on Thursday if he were to send back two negative tests at some point here. But for that to happen, again, 24 hours apart, an enormous bug has flown into the studio.
I heard it.
That seems impossible.
I heard like the buzz. Well, I heard.
Did
what
you really?
I heard what sounded like a buzz. Did it go near the microphone?
It is currently on my face on the TV screen, which no one else can see, but I can see.
Did it like fly right by you? Like,
yeah, it came right through.
I heard a buzz sound.
Wow,
I feel like that's it.
I think it's actually just a shield bug that got very close to my face, and it's currently on my face on my screen in here. A lot of shield bug talk on this show as of late. They like coming into the studio. Anyway, it is a beautiful December 14th day outside, so we have the door open, which is pretty weird. Anywho, I love Drew Brees. So if Chris Jones was to send back two negative tests 24 hours apart, physically the latest I think he could do that would be, let's call it noon on Thursday. I don't know if that's realistic at all. I don't know if that's too late. If somebody with the Chiefs could get him on a jet on that short of notice. But if he sent back one negative test tomorrow morning, the window could be open. But he theoretically tested positive today at, I would say, somewhere between 11 and 11:45 a.m. It seems like it'd be the window of his name being on that board to him being no longer on the board. So that's just the timeline. I would say that if he hasn't had one negative test by noon tomorrow, it seems impossible that he would be able to get to LA by kickoff. If he didn't have a negative test 4 hours after having a positive one, then he won't be able to make the team flight tomorrow. Now, if it were a false positive, maybe you turn around a negative test really quickly. Maybe that door stays open, but assuming it was not a false positive, and I would have to think that we would probably have heard that by now. If he tested again, it came back negative, and then the clock started ticking to have a second negative 24 hours later. I think we would probably be getting an inkling of that. You may have the hunch here of like, okay, but hold on. This is kind of convoluted, and it seems like there could be ways this could change. Absolutely. That would all be absolutely true. The thing that I'm most concerned about potentially changing is, are we going to get news tomorrow morning that a bunch more Chiefs tested and a bunch more tested positive? And right now, we just don't know. This puts both of these teams, and it seems like with Rashawn Slater, I think that's it from the Chargers front. And when it was just Josh Gordon, I didn't get super nervous because there's no way to know, or at least very unlikely to find out exactly how somebody got it at this point. And then what is transmission amongst his teammates who are around him? Josh Gordon did the post-game press conference on Sunday. I mean, there was COVID in his body at that point, to my best understanding of how this works. There are all of these moving parts and all of these things we don't really know. Once you get to two guys, though, I start getting worried that you're going to get news like the Browns had today when they put eight guys on their COVID list. I think the Lakers canceled the media availability and a practice or something. I think the Bulls had a couple of games postponed. Like, throughout sports and throughout the world, we're back at a point where you look over your shoulder and there's been another COVID thing. And for the Chiefs right now, I don't want to over-exaggerate here. I don't think that there could be a worse time in the regular season, and I don't think there could be a worse player to test positive on the Chiefs defense. Just for their plans for Thursday. Because even as the Chiefs have won all of these games that they have won, and even as, you know, in those two Raiders games, which I do want to, we will go back and talk about the Raiders game some more. But even as you look at the Raiders game, you look at six wins in a row, the Raiders games, really, where it looks like the offense is clicking again. The other four, not so much, but early on it was just getting dubs up there. They looked pretty good against the Broncos. They looked, as an entire team, the Cowboys game, at least you knew they're a good football team, whatever. You know, that the last four games felt better than beating Daniel Jones and Jordan Love, right? In terms of like the Chiefs looking like, feeling like themselves. But even among that stretch, the Chiefs right now are one game up on the Chargers. And I mean, to be honest, like looking at the standing settling after the games on Sunday, that kind of felt wrong to me. And I, you know, this is my job and I'm watching the standings and I was reading the standings and all of that. But I remember, you know, the Chargers losing to the Vikings and the Broncos. And then they blow out the Bengals and blow out the Giants. And all of a sudden, they're back at 8-5 as the Chiefs are at 9-4. And obviously, if the Chiefs lose this game to the Chargers on Thursday night, not only do they even back up at the top of the AFC West, but the Chargers jump the Chiefs because they would have the twofold tiebreaker, beating the team twice. That would be a tough spot to find yourself after the last 2 months or so that this team has had. And so I don't think that it's over-exaggerating to say this is the Chiefs' game of the regular season. I won't say game of the year. I mean, they're not their game of 2020 either, because, or 2021. Good grief. We're talking about COVID, and I can't even remember what year it is. Not their biggest game of 2021, because there was a Super Bowl. I know we don't talk about it much, but there was one. But of this regular season, you could go back and say, hey, you know, That opening stretch of Browns, Ravens, Chargers had some great matchups early on, and they were great. Ultimately, for the Chiefs, turnover-filled and not terribly successful, but great games. Chiefs, Bills in prime time should have been great. Wasn't. It was not great for a variety of reasons, including a halftime lightning delay. Not ideal. Even the Titans game,
also a loss,
should have been great. Chiefs Packers should have been great. Aaron Rodgers wasn't there. But where these two teams stand right now, maybe I'm giving the Chargers too much credit, but because this would be very Chargery, that if the Chargers win this game on Thursday, they win the AFC West if they beat the Texans, Broncos, and Raiders. Broncos game is in L.A. The other two, they have on the road. The Chiefs win this game. They win the AFC West by getting through the Steelers, Bengals, and Broncos. Would leave the Chiefs with four losses. The Chargers would be down to six there. And really, the Chiefs could actually lose one of those last three, which, strangely, depending on how the AFC shakes out, maybe it even ends up in a place where they don't need that, week 18, game 17 slot against Denver. Maybe that game doesn't matter, and maybe you get yourself a little sort of faux bye week anyway. It depends on, obviously, what the Patriots do, and they won't know that, I don't think, until after they presumably beat the Steelers and Bengals if they get to that point. But the Chiefs winning this game gives them some margin for error and just about puts a bow on the AFC West. Kind of flips on its head if the Chargers take this game. It's huge. And now it sure looks like they're going to have to do it without Chris Jones. The wild thing to pivot back to the game against the Raiders and the Chiefs putting up a hilarious, what was the final here? I got 89-23 final score on the Raiders this year. 89-23. When it also felt like they took their foot off of the gas just a smidge late in the game, and including Chad Henne handing the ball to Derek Gore and then having him bust it to a 51, I think, yard touchdown run. I mean, impeccable, impeccable rivalry-ing. Hilarious on a whole other level whenever we get to talk about pregame dancing and all of that. We'll talk. I also to mention this because we got two great guests tonight that you'll be very happy to hear from in the Chiefs world. We'll have our regular Tuesday chat with the one and only Seth Kaiser of the Chief in the North newsletter, the Times Ours podcast, and the Athletic. And we'll also talk to Craig Stout, one of the I don't know, what do you want to say, superstars of KC Sports Network. We'll talk to Seth at 8 and Craig at 9, and we'll spend plenty of time talking about the defense with and without Chris Jones. But even as I look at what this defense has done and the fact that I'm in terms of legitimacy here, I don't think it's fluky. I don't think that there are big questions you should still have about this unit at this point. I think it's legitimate. Maybe it's not going to be the best defense in football through the rest of the year and into the playoffs and to the Super Bowl. I don't know. But it's definitely good. And yet, if there was a way that you could make me nervous about them having a bad game in the worst time, it would be, literally, you could create in a lab on the road, Thursday Night Football, Justin Herbert and the Chargers, and you've got to do it without Chris Jones. I'm narrowly leaning towards the Chiefs in this game. But I think this might have come up. Maybe this came up on the post-game show talking to our dear friend Matt Derrick. You could not put a team in a worse place just by purely like neutral, non-team related factors than to just say, go on the road on Thursday Night Football, good luck. But the fact that they're almost certainly, it seems, going to have to roll without Chris Jones is an enormous blow. Obviously, if it ends up being a false positive and he can somehow get that turned around in 48 hours or 24 hours or what, 24 and a half hours, then everything, you could exhale a huge, huge breath. But I don't know that you can do that right now, because this was going to be tough, and now your most dominant defender is probably not going to be on that plane. It's interesting. It also stinks, because I thought we were going to have a very fun show tonight of pointing and laughing about buses and pregame dances and cowardly field goals. And you know, the Conor McGregor sound of, and I will! And I will go on extensively about all of those things. We will get there. But we had to start today with the fact that Chris Jones probably isn't going to be out there for the biggest game of the year for the Chiefs so far.
To be fair, half the NFL is not going to be out there this weekend.
True.
Because apparently half the NFL, you know, tested positive for COVID this weekend. I was not prepared for the week 15 half the league test positive.
Yeah.
That was something I was kind of prepared, expecting, you know, within the first few weeks, right? Like, as everybody's still getting vaccinated, you know, protocols, we're still kind of trying to get into the flow of things. I wasn't expecting that, hey, everything seems pretty good. And then really the last, like, over the course of the last week, 2 weeks of the NFL season, but really just the, you know, one calendar week, I've seen a lot of players test positive.
Adam Schefter tweeted just a little bit ago, thank you for talking long enough to let me get the tweet up, Rudy, you're a professional. NFL now has had 75 player positives for COVID the past 2 days, per source. It's from Adam Schefter. And you're right, it's wild, because this wasn't really a factor, at least in Kansas City, from what, week 2 to week, you'd think by now I'd be more confident in the numbers I'm saying, week 15 that we're in now. Obviously, Tyrann Mathieu missed the first game of the year, because he had COVID. But from week 2 through week 15, it had not impacted the Chiefs. And at least until the last couple of weeks, it really had not been a major story in the NFL. I mean, obviously, last year, the Chiefs had, a Tuesday game? Did they get moved to Tuesday at one point?
Think so. They definitely had a different day.
Didn't
game.
The Bills get moved to Tuesday?
What was that? Was it the Patriots?
Well, game? They played the Patriots without Cam Newton, but I think that game only moved a little bit. I can't remember. I'll let you look it up, Rudy. Rudy's on the move. He got to his computer like a man on a mission. Here's the truth. I can't even tell you all of the things that were impacted by COVID just for the Chiefs last year. Guys who were on and off the list, Anthony Sherman was on there for a while and just sort of disappeared. They played the Patriots without Cam Newton, with Brian Hoyer.
That game was postponed. I'm just looking up. The first story I pulled up says it will be moved to either Monday or Tuesday. So I'm just
maybe Chiefs-Patriots was Tuesday.
The Monday or Tuesday.
There were second Monday night games. Somebody played. There was a game every day of the week. I think the Steelers were the team that ended up playing on Wednesday. Kind of thought the Chiefs ended up on a Tuesday, did they not?
Yeah, the Chiefs-Patriots was on a Tuesday, October 5th.
So, just playing Calvin ball with the schedule, right? The only rule is you can't make the same rule twice. That was the cardinal rule of Calvin ball, the fictional game from Calvin and Hobbes. Is that an old reference now? I mean, it's kind of, well, I don't think Calvin and Hobbes was really active even whenever I was reading the comics on a regular basis. I just have all the books.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Oh, man.
I would say it's a pretty old reference, but I think everybody listening knows what Calvin and Hobbes is. But if there's, you know, like my niece, my guess is she doesn't know what Calvin and Hobbes is.
Hold on, everybody, I'm having a quick crisis. Just give me one second, everybody, to see if let's go to the Wikipedia and yeah. So, I mean, this is a factor of my... it is a factor of my dad having some of the books, I think, and maybe... I always loved, like... I liked... My preference in terms of my love of comic books was actually books of comic strips, the treasuries and all of those things. I loved those. I still have a bunch of them. I haven't cracked them open in a while, but I love them all. I got the complete set of Calvin and Hobbes for a birthday or Christmas, probably around like age 13 or something. Wonderful. I mean, just... And the humor holds up for everybody. It's fabulous. Anyway, I love Calvin and Hobbes. But it did stop running in, on December 31st, 1995.
It definitely stopped earlier than I would. Like, my guess was it was definitely not in serialization when I was reading it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, my guess is it had stopped even before I was reading it.
Yeah.
I just would have guessed maybe, like, a couple years. So maybe, like, the last time I probably, like, read it, where I was just like, this is my everything, where I was, like, reading it from the school library and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, 12 to 13. So that's 2002, 2003. So my guess, I guess, probably would have been maybe about 2000 is when it stopped. You know, certainly the
definitely
early
2000s. Definitely pre-9/11.
Yeah.
Calvin and Hobbes never had... You would remember. You would remember if Calvin and Hobbes had, like, a 9/11 strip or something,
for
right?
Sure.
You know, like a very heavy kind of deal. Because they would... I think Bill Watterson probably would have.
Calvin and Hobbes. I used to check that out from, like, the library all the time. Sit on the bus.
It did end...
Home and read it.
It ended shortly after my first birthday.
Yeah, it checks out. Great comic book strip.
You mentioned the library. I'm sure I checked out books from the library. And also, it was a good, like, my mom and I used to go to garage sales all the time. I am confident that was a thing to keep an eye out for at a garage sale. I couldn't even put my finger on exactly how it all began. But I like love Calvin and Hobbes and all the kids. These damn kids these days.
They don't know about Calvin and Hobbes. Because, yeah, our library had, like, you know, the volumes, essentially, right? So, like, you got a bunch of the comic strips in
yes.
one book.
Like, yes.
Yeah, it was great.
That was, I did read the you know, news, the funnies.
For sure.
But those, the what did you just call them? You just had a better word, the word that I couldn't.
Serialization?
No, of the
comic
books.
Comic book strips?
No.
Volumes?
Volumes. I think it was having the volumes of it. And again, I think if it's all Sunday ones, it's technically a treasury, or at least that's how, I think, Calvin and Hobbes and Foxtrot and Pearls Before Swine all did it. Those are my favorites. Pearls Before Swine is still running. I think Foxtrot just does Sundays. This is insane to me. I don't think we've ever actually... I don't think my weird, deep, niche love of comic strips, not books, but strips, often in the form of books, I don't think we've ever actually scratched that surface on this show. And we did it just now because I was referencing Calvin Ball and then realizing that even people our own age would have very few reasons to just passively know about Calvin Ball. And now this is the oldest I've ever felt. Let's take a break. I'm going to go sit in silence, I think, for a little while.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Can I tell you the secret on this and then we can talk about other stuff?
Can I tell you something too? Last
no.
night.
What?
Like last
You can't play an Uno reverse card on me.
Yeah,
what?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I love it whenever the liners really catch me off guard like that. That's a great one. What the hell happened there, Rudy? Do you remember what you were so excited to tell me?
Not at all.
Hey, man, can I tell you something? No, but I can tell you something. What?
I just know what all I remember is that whatever you were saying reminded me of something that I meant to tell you, and there's just like, oh, here we go. Snowball.
Fantastic. My goodness. Let's, first of all, a couple things here from the Twitch. I always like to remind people of this just because, look, if you listen to the show live or you listen to it on the podcast feed and that's what works for you, thank you for doing that. That's how I listen to most of the shows that I listen to, even if they are streaming in video form. Totally get it. But if there is a particular day that maybe you're set up at your computer, you want to pull up the stream of this show and actually watch it, like today, maybe you get a little Easter egg. Like I wore my new T-shirt that I got at the Salvador Dali Museum in St. Petersburg. He will be in my shot clock reviews. Salvador Dali will be in my shot clock reviews whenever we do it. I think the entire man, maybe the museum, maybe this particular piece that's on my shirt. I'm not sure. I haven't figured it all out yet, but it'll be there. You can actually watch the show live on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch pages. And also, maybe most fun, you can also interact with other people who are watching and listening to the stream, which creates a very fun little space where people like Beaktor714 can say, Chris Jones or not, I'm not ready for those frustrating Keenan Allen third down conversions. Me neither. Or like PewPewICU says they can't wait to see all the red in the stands. I just read the first two comments at the top of my screen in here, but those are the two that I saw, and the conversation you can join in on.
Beaktor had a good one. I don't know why we're all worried about Chris Jones when we're gaining our best pass rusher back, L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, you know, I actually should mention that. Andy Reid did say today, he did not practice today, but he did say that L'Jarius Sneed was returning to Kansas City, I believe was the phrase. So it does seem like he will likely be back on Thursday. He won't have practiced in about a week, which is usually not something that Andy Reid wants guys to play after. So I'm not sure how much we'll see L'Jarius Sneed if he is with the team. And also, Rashad Fenton was in a limited role, but was active after his injury against the Raiders. And you saw, you know, your Mike Hughes. Your Mike Hughes bleeping, like, invincibility game, much less breakout game, podium game. Mike Hughes opened the game with a defensive touchdown and then followed it up by two punch-outs. Anyway, I think you'll see plenty of him and Baker again. Although the biggest difference that Sneed would probably make if he is able to return and play a decent amount schematically is you got a very high dosage of Dan Sorensen and I think 100% of Juan Thornhill on Sunday, and you'll even hear me say that's pretty much fine because Tyrann Mathieu needed to play up in the slot a lot more and was able to do that whenever, obviously without Sneed being there. I wouldn't hate seeing more of Armani Watts here, and that's fine. Dan Sorensen was fine. This is not a pick at anybody. Just to note, you would probably see less of Sorensen and more of Mathieu playing more of his typical role if Sneed is able to play a decent amount. But we'll see. Maybe Sneed only plays sub packages. I don't know. I'm shooting from the hip on that one. That's still going to be against the Chargers maybe 80% of the time. I don't know. But I hope we get to see L'Jarius Sneed again. Do you have another comment, Rudy, or did that one just leap out to you?
I mean, that was one I thought was pretty funny. I noticed people earlier. Pew Pew also said basically, and I think this kind of goes off what you said in the first hour on how this very well he at the very least said whoever wins this game will win the division. I will say, if you told me if the Chargers win the game this game, they obviously have the tiebreaker, so you have to finish a whole game better than them.
Yes.
I will say, if you told me the Chiefs lost this game and then won out, and you told me the Chargers won this game and then also lost the game the rest of the way, wouldn't be stunned.
Yeah.
So if the Chiefs win this game, it absolutely wins it for them. Like, the division, it's just about wrapped because they
would have that one game of wiggle room. Yeah.
But if the Chiefs lose this game, it makes it very difficult. The Chargers are also the Chargers. If you told me they lost a game, if the Chiefs won out and the Chargers slipped up somewhere the rest of the way, again, makes your margin of error insanely small, because if you're the Chiefs, you have to win out, because the odds of the Chargers losing two games the rest of the way seem unlikely. But I do think that if the Chiefs can lose this game and still come away with the division, but again, very unlikely. If you want the one seed, you have to win this game. The reality is, if you want the one seed, you probably have to go undefeated, because it's just the odds of losing this game and then having everybody else lose multiple games is, I mean, the AFC's been weird this year, but I don't think it's that weird.
That's a cold, hard point by Rudy Salazar here on Almost Entirely Sports. Brought to you by... I didn't get to open my drink during the commercial break, and I was waiting for a comedically relevant time to do it, and I felt like I was an exclamation point on your point there, Rudy. I feel like I did my best.
It was very good.
I'm really at a... Oh, boy, this smells delicious. Hold on.
It looks good.
Oh, man. So, if you don't know, I have diabetes now. It's fine. I mean, it's not good, but it's better than it was before I knew I had it. Better to know you got it, right? You know, that's really the argument that John Harbaugh was making this weekend. Better to go for, you know, you got to go for two early, because better to know that you've got the points diabetes than not know you have the points diabetes. That wasn't even a segue. That's just a genuine thought. But better to know what you got in your hand. But so I've been for the last now almost three, coming up on 3 months. Wow. The last 2.5 months especially. There are some things you just can't, it just doesn't make any sense to eat or drink anymore. Like, I've had one small portion of rice in the last 2.5 months. Because rice is good, I guess. But it's not all that insulin good. It's just not worth it for me. That's fine. Also, cauliflower rice is actually really good.
This is like,
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. No. This is like a thing that I just don't think people necessarily talk about enough. Cauliflower just has a substitute for grains.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, the healthy alternative. You're like, hey, it's not bad. No, it's legitimately great. Like
I enjoy it a lot.
Chipotle for a while had rice, cauliflower rice.
Yeah.
It was just a limited time thing. And I miss it so much.
Yeah, and I would say that was
so
not
good.
That was nowhere
even,
near the best cauliflower rice that's out there.
Absolutely,
I would appreciate
cauliflower
it if they
as
it
a
back.
Wheat replacement is fantastic.
Yeah, it really cauliflower rice absolutely a legitimately good thing.
I've had cauliflower essentially pizza rice, pizza
crust.
Yep,
the crust, sure,
it's very good.
Yeah, we had a cauliflower based pizza crust that was also very good, but. The sort of, I don't know, maybe the slightly more fun experimental side. It's like, there's just no reason to drink anything with sugar in it for me at this point. I really enjoy a good, you know, Dr. Pepper here and there, an energy drink of sorts. Oh, I mostly ended up getting the sugar-free ones anyway. But, it's been a little bit of a journey. The real loss, the one loss I do mourn other than my pancreas, that's not true. It's still in there. And actually, fun fact, still doing most of its job, just not the insulin to offset to work with your carbs.
That
part.
One thing it doesn't do is just a very important thing.
It turns out it's an important thing.
Turns out, like, you know, when I do 90% of my job,
you're pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
When any of your organs only do 90% of their job, you might die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your organs got some stress because they have to be working at like 98% efficiency at like all time. Because if they drop to 90, you're in a hospital fighting a guard.
That's
just how it goes.
You might have thought like, oh, that's a funny exaggeration for Rudy to do. Uh-uh. No. No, that happened. If you wanted that story, you can go listen to the first episode after I got out of the hospital. You can go get that backstory. That's in the catalog. But one of the fun things has been like I'm trying lots of different drink substitutes and everything. Oh, the one loss other than my pancreas, lemonade. I like lemonade.
Very sugary though.
Very sugary, and like other than like Chick-fil-A's. Diet lemonade. Most of the diet lemonades or the zero sugar lemonades or whatever, are not quite there. Gotta keep trying new ones. But like Costco has, I'm gonna blow by some shot clock reviews here. Unfortunately, Costco's got a great diet green tea. And this here, this is Quick Trip's super. I don't know why it's super. That feels new. Super Rooster Booster Light. It's the Quick Trip like energy drink. They have it on faucet
fountain.
On fountain.
On tap.
I was going to, but I thought, I don't think that's a tap.
That
I literally was going to say they have it on tap.
I think you could say it's on tap and people would understand what you mean, but it's not
fountain.
It's not technically on tap.
Fountain is the right word. You had that right. And I will get it in that, but I got a couple of cans of it today because I was in and out. I wasn't going to drink it. I was saving it for showtime. And Rooster Booster as a sort of cherry-based energy drink of sorts, it's pretty good. Enjoy it. It's not shot clock review worthy, but just, you know, I'm drinking it during the show, and I'm easily distracted by shiny things.
I'll update that to my part tomorrow, by the way. I've got plenty of stuff to add there. So
I think...
I don't know what our show looks like tomorrow night yet, but if you want to do it, we can do it.
Okay.
I'll update at point being.
I've got a lot of shot clock content. We might not make an effort to hit it really until next week. Because we're both out on Friday, and
I'm out all next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're not. I'm out till the 26th. I'm out from Chiefs game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. You mentioned that. All right, I'm gonna have to.
So as of once Friday,
what's
gets
Beards
here,
up to?
Dead. That's what he's up to. Yeah, starting on Friday, I will only work 2 days. The rest of the, I guess 3 days if you count a Chiefs game. The rest of the year.
That's really exciting.
2 weekdays, 1 weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to just go back to Twitch here. Ice Pyro asks if G Fuel spikes my blood sugar. I actually haven't had any since I got out of the hospital. I don't think anything of that was G Fuel's fault. In fact, I know for a fact none of that was G Fuel's fault. But it was just one of those things where I was like doing some habit reassessment.
Yeah.
And I just haven't mixed one up yet, you know? This might be the first like can of energy drink that I have bought in 3 months also, but it says it's sugar free, so I think theoretically G Fuel is fine. G Fuel and I are not broken up. We're just taking a break and seeing other energy drinks right now.
I in solidarity have done similar things. I am drinking G Fuel occasionally, but much less, and usually not afternoon.
And
usually it's like if I have one, it's just like I'm dragging in the morning, so I'll mix one up.
That but seems
I'm,
okay.
I'm trying to not drink any more caffeine, like really later in the day. Thursday night doesn't count, though, because we're going to be working until, like, 2 a.m.
Rudy, in solidarity with me, also, I told him not to do this, just took a big pin and jabbed it where he thought his pancreas was. And it wasn't...
It's healthy.
It's not how that works.
It's helping me lose weight.
Rudy, in solidarity with me, actually took my insulin pin out of my backpack and jabbed a needle I had already used.
It was my booster shot.
Into his heart, which is not where you put insulin.
Aaron Rodgers told me, just do this for a booster and it's fine, okay? I have to listen to athletes. This is a sports show, Josh. I'm required by law.
I thought it went from solidarity to selfishness.
They're not boosters. Don't listen to me.
I thought it went from...
I'm not a doctor.
I thought it went from solidarity to selfishness whenever you took my emergency Reese's cup that I keep on me at all times in case I have a blood sugar crash, and you ate it because you said you wanted to support me.
I was craving a little chocolate.
That at least was the truth, you know? We're going to take another break. We'll talk to Seth Kaiser in about 10 minutes. We'll talk about something else whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is a weird thing for me to have just found out, but apparently this happened while we were doing Chiefs Post on Sunday, and my brain sometimes turns off anything that's not Chiefs-related whenever that's happening. But Baylor beat Villanova 57-36. Villanova was the number 6 team in the nation at the time. It's on my TV in here on a replay on ESPNU. Baylor gave up 36 points to the 6th ranked team in basketball.
And they lost 4 starters from their last year's national championship team. They are replacing 4 starters.
Scott Drew was a dork like 5 years ago.
Like, I think unrightfully so.
Yeah. I'm not sure that that's fair, but that was sort of the perception.
It absolutely was. Can't win the big game. Not, you know, a fine coach, but not good.
And I know that a lot of college basketball lovers are within the, you know, sound of my voice right now, and I totally respect that. But 36 points in a basketball game is not enough for me to watch it. I love March, but I'll wait till football season's over to get really into college basketball. Seth Kaiser next.